Well, we certainly want to pray for all the folks down in Florida and all the Keys and the other islands and Cuba and still the folks down in Houston, the coast, and even the people in Mexico where the other tropical storm, I don't know that it was a hurricane when it went in, but praying for those people too. And church is something we do several things. We involve several aspects in the taxonomy of thinking and behavior. One of the things we do is cognitive. We're thinking, we're learning. We're learning about stuff. That's part of what we do in church, in the community of faith. That's what we're doing right now. I'm learning as I'm singing the songs a little bit more. I'm learning as I read the Bible, and I learn as I hear what God has to say through the Word of God. So the cognitive aspect of Christianity is probably the most evident thing when you think about Sunday school, or you think about coming to church as far as getting together. I mean, we are the church. The church is who we are, so even when we leave this place, we're still the church, right? So we talk about like we go to church, but we are the church. We kind of get that mixed up sometimes. And a big part of that is learning. So since learning is a big part of that, I thought I'd give you all a test this morning. So here are some questions to see if you've been paying attention. Number one, is the following phrase found in the Bible, ashes to ashes and dust to dust? If so, where? Is that true or false? How many don't know? How many don't know and are afraid to lift their hands because they don't know? No, it's false. It's not found in the Bible. It's in an Anglican Book of Common Prayer. Number two, Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat. True or false? False. The Ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. Plural. Number three, who cut off Samson's hair? False. For Absalom was riding, I'm sorry, for many will answer Delilah, this is incorrect. She, the Bible says, made him, Samson, sleep on her knees and call for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his hair. Thank you. Number four, I already kind of gave this answer away. Absalom's mule went under an oak in the battle of Ephraim, and his hair became entangled in the branches, and he hung there while the mule went on. True or false? False. That was the preacher's wife that said true. For Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak, and the Bible says, his head caught fast in the oak, and so he was left hanging between the heaven and the earth, while the mule that was under him kept going, said nothing about his hair. Number five, name the third, fifth, and seventh commandments. Yeah, right. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Honor your father and mother, and you shall not commit adultery. How many of you knew that? Two of you. Great. Okay. Moving right along. Who was the judge of Ruth? Well, if you go in chronology of the Bible, Joshua judges Ruth. Thank you. What was Boaz before he married Ruth? Somebody in the early service said single. The correct answer is ruthless. Complete the following. Pride goeth before false. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction. Proverbs 16:18. complete the following. By the way, y'all are all failing so far. What did I say about part of what we do here is learn? Okay. Fill in the blank. The lion shall lie down with the false. Lamb is incorrect. The Bible says, Isaiah 11 and 6, and the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Let's see. Number 10. Jonah was swallowed by a whale. It depends. The original text says a great fish, but if you read the King James Version, it says whale. So I could see how you could say whale. Number 11, Elijah was taken to heaven in a fiery chariot. How many say true? How many would somebody like to try a true here? You would? False. This is fun. I'm liking this. And it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven. A chariot of fire and horses of fire separated Elijah and Elijah. That's something different. Number 12. How many wise men came to visit Jesus while he lay in the manger? More than one. They came bringing gifts. We just don't know how many, right? Number 13, Jesus sweat great drops of blood. Jesus sweat great drops of blood. True or false? It's hard to say. The text does not say that Jesus sweat great drops of blood. It says this, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And there is a condition where you can be under so much anxiety that your blood, the capillaries, the blood mingles with your perspiration. And so when it comes out, it's got that bloody tint to it. And then I could give you a lot more, but we'll see if you get this last one. Where in the Bible does it say we should watch television? Matthew 17:9. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Okay, I'm a preacher of grace. Y'all get an A, okay? Oh, and I forgot my glasses. What am I doing? Throwing my glasses away. I got to have those. Okay, so something we noticed in the storm, and we talked about this last Sunday, people coming out of their houses, moving beyond themselves and their own selfishness and helping people. And what we saw, a lot of Christians were mixed in that group, but then there were a lot of people who weren't Christians mixed in that group. We think that, you know, Romans 3, we say, okay, the Bible says there's none good, none that seeketh after God. And we think, okay, well, if you're not a Christian, you can't do anything good. That's not what that text is talking about. It's saying that there's nothing that anybody can do, any kind of good thing that will obtain favor with God so that they can be justified and go to heaven. So there's nothing we can do to go to heaven. Jesus had to do everything for us. And so the way we go to heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ to come into our life. And he forgives us of our sins through grace and through mercy. So he gives us something that we don't deserve, and we don't get something we deserve. That's grace and mercy. It doesn't mean that if you're a lost person, you can't do anything that's a good thing. So if you're out there saving people and you're not a Christian, that's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. And by the way, that's the point of the great white throne judgment, when all the unbelievers will go before the throne, because there'll be degrees of punishment based on their life. But we're Christians. We've asked the Lord to come into our life, hopefully everyone, if not everyone, you can ask the Lord to come in your life today, because you don't want to go to that judgment. You want to know that you know that when you die, you're going to heaven. But going to heaven is not all there is to the Christian life. There's the Christian life. There's living the Christian life, being faithful, those crowns we talked about. The whole point is that you will allow God to live through your life as a faithful sheep, hearing His voice, so that you can do what you were created for, which is to give God glory. Not so that everybody can look at you and say, oh, look how many crowns Mike has. No. It's so that those crowns, what they represent is we will reflect the glory of God. So the more crowns you have, the more faithfulness you exhibited in your life, the more opportunity you're going to have to glorify God. Now, when you know, all you guys will have more crowns than I will, and I'm not going to go up to you and say, boy, I can't believe you got all those crowns, and I only got, you know, one or something. There's not going to be any envy in heaven. There's not going to be any of that. You know, we're all going to be in perfect harmony and peace and all that. But the point is, again, you want to pay attention in your Christian life so that you can live for what you were created for, to glorify God. Now that is represented, that kind of thought, in Romans chapter 14 and chapter 15. I want to read a few verses for you, because the church needs to move beyond just learning. Why are we learning? Why are we doing this stuff in our brains? Not just to keep it in our brains, but so that when we learn what God wants us to be and to do, that we'll start turning that into action. We'll start moving beyond ourselves, beyond our selfishness. We'll start serving each other. Jesus said, he got on his knees and he washed the disciples' feet, and he said, as have I done to you, you do unto others, do unto each other. Okay? Moving beyond yourselves, as we've seen people do in this storm, and we're going to see more of that in this storm now. What's the church supposed to be doing after it learns all this good stuff? Okay, Paul talks about that. He says in verse 1, receive, and that word receive also means welcome. Welcome or receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, and another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. And he goes on and kind of elaborating more on that. Then in verse 21, it is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. And then really our key verses, that kind of sets us up for what he says in the first few verses of chapter 15. He gives this problem that was going on in the church, and he gives the solution, the process on how to deal with it, and then he talks to us about outcomes. So we got problem, process, and outcome. Here we go, chapter 15. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. And then verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Hope for what? Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. There, hope for what? To be like-minded. And what will the outcome of being like-minded be? That you may, with one mind and one mouth, there it is, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So y'all say the word out loud when we get to that special word. Verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify, there we go, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he's made his argument. Now, here's what you should do. receive or welcome one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. So, okay. So God wants us to get this learning so we can move beyond ourselves to each other. The problem is that when we're rubbing elbows with each other, we have differing opinions about how we ought to live our life, how we ought to run our family, how we ought to run stuff and things, the church, the world, our politics, you know, all this stuff. We bring all our baggage in with us when we come into the community of faith, and we don't all agree. That was the problem they had, guess what, in the first century. It's not unique to our situation here in Floresville, even the church in the whole world in the 21st century. They had it a long time ago. Paul says here was their problem, okay, that they had to deal with, but it's generic in the sense of the not the issue, but the fact that they just had differing appearance. So you got Jewish people who get saved. They come to know the Lord as Lord, and they come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that he's the King, he's God, and so they accept him into their life. And then you got Gentiles, and they get saved, and so God joins them together. Well, guess what? They got all kinds of different opinions. They've been living their life two different ways, completely. And so now when they come together, the Jewish Christians say, well, you got to live your life now this way. You got to live your life. And so the title of my sermon today is Bacon and Eggs, question mark. Okay? Because here's what was happening. They would come over here and they would say, Bob, you weren't raised in the synagogue, you weren't a Jew, you're a Gentile, and now you're in the church, and we noticed that you've been eating bacon with your eggs. Yeah. And we're doing this. Yeah, and we're saying, no, it's this. And if you want to continue to be a member of the First Baptist Church in Floresville, you're going to have to discontinue your bacon usage. That's what was going on. I'm serious. And this was really important, because you can see how it'd be so important to the Jewish Christians. Man, I mean, you know, you remember Peter, he was a big deal. God had to show up in person in a vision and say, eat, Peter, all this stuff. Oh, I can't do that, God. Don't you remember what you told us? And God had to tell him three times before he would actually, it was a big, big deal, okay? But it wasn't a big deal to the Gentiles. And Paul, he navigated through all this stuff, and so he designated weaker Christians and stronger ones, or, you know, and basically he designated the ones who said you couldn't eat bacon as the weaker brothers, because he knew what God had done, that God had made all things clean, that the Mosaic law was obsolete. But he said, but wait a minute. Just because you have a weaker brother that wants to observe the days and wants to just eat eggs without pork, don't judge them. Don't throw them out. Just like he would say to the Jewish Christian, the weaker brother, don't, just because Bob over here eats bacon, don't throw him out. Who are you to judge? And the issue was a secondary issue. It was an issue of practice. This is different than Acts chapter 15. Sharp debate. Sharp, distinct conference. Because there were Pharisees who got saved. They came to know the Lord, which is unbelievable, which is really astounding to think about. Okay? And they would go wrong. They went after Paul over in Galatia, and they said, hey, you guys have to get circumcised. You can't just ask Jesus to come into your life. They were confused about that because of their background. And so they had James and the church said, no, that's not right. And we are not going to publish your idea. Okay? And you have no authority to say that, which was an interesting thing. James said, no one gave these people authority to say what they were saying, because it was coming from James and the leadership there. And so these Pharisees were saying this. The church at Jerusalem said no, and they gave the instructions to the Jerusalem church, you know, don't hang out with, you know, with meat offered to idols and meat with blood strangled, and keep yourselves away from sexual immorality. If you do these things, you'll do good. So it was a minimum deal. Point being that, yes, we do stop and say to Mr. Jehovah Witness, we say, no, you don't believe Jesus is God, you cannot be a Christian. You cannot be a part of the church. We do make that distinction. But when we talk about living the Christian life and we talk about secondary issues, then we're becoming more flexible, a lot more flexible. Because our goal is not to separate people. You know, like oil and water separates? A lot of our churches today look like oil and water. You know, and they got this separation. No, we should be coming. God took the wall down, so he took the wall down, so it's no more Jew or Gentile or male or female. It's rich or poor. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. And so we don't want to judge our brother. We want to become like-minded. When we become like-minded by receiving one another, then we glorify God. That's the purpose for which God gave us. And it's so exciting. It's so wonderful to see people go beyond themselves. Have y'all ever heard of a man bites dog story? You know what that is? That's an exception to the rule. That's what that means. That's a journalistic caption. We think of dog bites man, right? So man bites dog is like, this is unique. This is the exception. This is not the norm, okay? And I found one of those stories, and this is what the Lord wants the church to look like. Find my little article here. Here it is. This was on Fox News. It was published September 7th. And this is Carrie. And Carrie is a 37-year-old woman. And she's been in a coma since July. And she gave birth to a baby girl. They called her Life. That's her first name. At 24 weeks. The baby's name, Life Lynn, is the youngest of Carrie's six children. She weighed 1 pound and 4 ounces when she was born. And she's doing well according to her dad. But here's what happened. When Carrie discovered she was pregnant in April, just 2 weeks after being diagnosed with brain cancer. She had a choice. She could undergo the brain cancer treatment, or she could have her child and die. She chose the latter. I mean, today we hear about abortion is, you know, about how, you know, some people are screaming for how we can kill more babies in the womb today. And here we have a lady who said, no, I'll die so my baby can be born. Man, that's glorifying God. When she quoted the verse, she said, I remember what they're Christians. She said, I remember what the Bible says. It says, no man has greater love than he lay down his life for another. Now that's what God wants the community of faith to look like. In the midst of our differing opinions, with some eating eggs and some eating eggs and bacon. But loving each other unselfishly has its risks, doesn't it? Because you become vulnerable. I was reading about a man in Houston, and Mr. Atkins, and he got in his kayak and he started saving people. And Mr. Atkins said he really wasn't even in the bad part of town where the bad water was. I mean, it was all bad. But he noticed he had this red bump on his arm. And so it got worse and worse and worse. He finally went to the hospital and they said, you got flesh-eating disease. That's bad stuff. It can kill you. I know a man that had that. and they had to take the skin off the back of his head all the way down to the top of his knees. They ripped it all off, several layers, and he still died. Mr. Atkins, fortunately, they caught it soon enough, so it wasn't that bad. And so he talked about his experience day one, day two. It took through a whole week of ICU and several surgeries and all that, but he had a great sense of humor. He was watching the TV on last Sunday and saw the Aggies lose, so he had a great sense of humor, and he noted that. But saying all that to say, loving people beyond yourself with differing opinions has its risks. But in the text, in Romans chapter 15, Paul says we need something. We need endurance. That's what we need, to carry us through the day. And see, a lot of people, they give up. They get disillusioned. They get disappointed. They get hurt. And why do they get disillusioned, disappointed, and hurt? Maybe because they made a judgment call. Maybe because they decided to judge someone else because they were eating bacon. And what does Paul say? That's a secondary issue. We don't break fellowship over secondary issues. It's okay. And Paul says we should make a decision in the latter part of chapter 14. We should make a decision that we will not be a stumbling block to our brother or our sister. And so if we decide, if we look around and go, listen, maybe there's something that I need to abstain from in my life because I'm becoming a stumbling block to someone else, because I want to get outside myself. I want to become like-minded with the church so that I can have hope, and hope to do what? To be like, to glorify God. And so I want to do whatever I have to do so that I'm not a stumbling block to someone else. So there are things that I'm going to cut out of my life. But you know what? Not everybody has cut everything out like I would like them to cut everything out. So what do I do? Forget that person. They're off my list. I'm going to avoid that aisle at HEB. Right? And that's what a lot of Christians do. And we've all done it. We've all done it. And we wanted to break fellowship because of these secondary issues. We can. That's what Paul is saying. Don't do that, because you're going to miss what God created you for and what He created the church for. And listen, for us to be effective out there, we have got to be in unity in here. When we are of one mind and one, what does it say? Chapter 15? Voice. We glorify God. And when we glorify God, the light gets super bright. And the light is what's needed out there, because it's a dark, dark world. So this is the direction that God wants us to go in. So, Bob, it's okay. Keep eating your bacon, okay? As a matter of fact, I'll come over and have a BLT with you someday. Bacon and eggs. You got it, brother. Okay? So, yes, you may disagree with me, and I may disagree with you on some secondary issues. But my God is so big that I can love you anyway. And my God is so big that He can keep me from judging you. And to be your friend. And even to get in a foxhole with you if you need me to. You don't have to agree with me about that. That shouldn't have any contingency on my expression of God's love to you. God help me not to be a stumbling block. And Lord knows I have been a stumbling block many times in my Christian life. And I think about it all the time in my prayer time, and I ask God for His forgiveness, and that God would help the people that I have been a stumbling block to. I pray for them. Let's pray. as you're praying about your own life in this regard, that God would take the things you're learning in your brain and work them and rework them in your activity, your behavior, your being, so that you might glorify God and make the church's light brighter in a dark world. As you're praying about that, maybe there's someone else here today who needs to make a decision for the Lord, a decision to welcome Him into his or her heart. Maybe there's someone here today who doesn't know for sure if they were to die, they'd go to heaven. You can know. Pray this prayer with me to the Lord. Welcome Him in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that You are God, that You died on the cross for me. Forgive me. Save me. Come into my heart, Lord. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. I believe that You are God and that You died for me and rose again. Make me the kind of person You want me to be. Thank You, Lord, for saving me right now. And if you prayed that prayer, Jesus Christ just came into your life. And we welcome you into the family of God.